Go ahead and turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 9. Joshua, chapter 9. We are thankful again to see each one this morning. Oh, the weather's kind of nasty and rainy a little bit, but we're glad we were all able to come out and in the house of the Lord. I know that coughing and sniffling's going around. And let's just try not to be distracted and listen to the word of the Lord, because God has something for us. You know, it's a lot of times we come to church and we think, boy, we've got something for the Lord. But the Lord has something for us. And we need to receive what He has for us. Joshua chapter 9. One thing is certain about God, and that is He is dependable. We can depend upon Him. I think one of the things, as a child of God, I say one of the things, it might be the thing, as a child of God, is whenever we get saved, we begin at that moment to learn to trust the Lord. We've trusted Him for salvation, but now the just shall live by faith. So we start learning how to live by faith. And I'll be honest with you, many, many times we come up short. I come up short. But the more that we draw close to the Lord draws close to us. And we begin, even as was mentioned in prayer, we begin to learn to lean. We learn to lean against the Lord. We learn the things that He would teach us. We begin to learn to depend upon Him. And every time we choose to depend upon the Lord shows us He is dependable. And He will never steer us wrong. I know that that's maybe an understatement, but the Lord will never steer you wrong. Anytime that the Lord convicting your heart, He's leading your heart, He's not going to steer you wrong. Sometimes it may feel like, well, maybe we might begin to question, well, maybe I'm just thinking this. Maybe this is just something that's on my mind, but that's really not God in it. But God has a way of helping us to sort through all that and get settled and get established that this is the Lord's will. And it's not that He ever just comes out and audibly says, this is what I want you to do. That is what I want you to do. But He stirs our heart and He shows us that conviction. And maybe we begin to try to look in other directions, and He keeps drawing us back to, this is what I want for you. And at some point, we have to say, I'm going to step out on faith and I'm just going to trust that this is God, His leading. And whenever we do that, we learn that we can depend upon Him. God is not going to let us down. So when we are settled on the path that God has for us in our lives, by faith, we can press on. We can continue to put one foot ahead of the other. And we will understand something about God, and we begin to learn things about God, that even the impossible becomes possible. Our can'ts become His can'ts. You know, as He would tell us, for all things are possible through Christ, which strengthens me. A lot of times we want to apply that to things that we enjoy. You know, exercise. Well, I can do all things because Christ has strengthened me. And, you know, we might be able to apply it in that way in some form or fashion. But He's talking about a spiritual walk with the Lord, and how that if we will trust Him by faith, He will open up to us what is possible, even things that we feel like might not be possible at the time. Now, that being said, we do have an enemy. And I know I preach about him often, an adversary. We have adversaries. We know the world system is against us, and we know that the devil has a whole arsenal at his disposal, and you know, multitudes or legions, you might think of. But that adversary, he wants us to fail along God's path. You see, when a child of God exercises faith, that builds power. That is power. And it's a witness in this world. You know, when Jesus walked up, he was, when He would walk on the scene, He had faith. He wasn't wishy-washy. He walked before the Lord, before His God. His meat was to do the will of the Father which sent Him. People saw that. They saw that confidence, the authority in which He spoke, and it wowed them. And the same thing with us as children of God. When the world sees us walk in faith, and they see the confidence we have in God, and they see the authority which we speak, that has an effect on this world. And the devil knows that. Our adversary knows that. And so he wants to disrupt us. He wants to cause us to fail or cause us to doubt. You know, every time that the Lord would turn to his disciples, he would say, "Why is it that you doubted? Why did you doubt?" Whenever you doubt, that's a hindrance. Whenever you doubt, that lets the world down. And so we are to walk by faith, nothing wavering. So as long as God is directing us and we are following by faith, there's no limit. There's absolutely no limit. Israel walked between two walls of water. God stacked the water up on both sides of them, and they walked through on dry land. See, there's no limit with God. Now you say, "Well, we don't see those kinds of things." We don't have to see those kind of things. We have those kind of things written for us, and we are to learn spiritually to walk by faith. Israel had a physical walk. We have a spiritual walk, and we need spiritual things to happen for us. And so Gideon, he saw victory over an innumerable army, and to make that such a great story, he only had 300 with him. Impossible, but it was possible, because God, he is the trump card, so to speak. Whenever you say God, that makes everything possible. David walked out on the battlefield and he killed Goliath, and he knew he would before he started, because he had faith. God is going to deliver you into my hands. So it's impossible for man to take and organize churches and churches to be successful like they have since Jesus walked on the shores of Galilee, but with Christ, all things are possible. You stop and think about organizations coming together. God put his church together. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And so God has been able to take people and bring them together and work in miraculous ways where that's just not possible without the Lord. So this adversary knows that we are conquerors with Jesus. So he does everything he can to keep us from listening to the Lord. And I want us all to be on the same page before we even begin reading. The adversary knows we are conquerors with Christ. He knows that this trial that you're going through, that if you look to the Lord, you will conquer that. And so he wants you to not look to the Lord. He wants to divert your attention elsewhere. He wants you to fail. Because when you fail, that your light is just not shining like it should, like it could if you had faith in the Lord. So, if you will, Joshua 9, verse 3. "And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily and went," that means that they worked with trickery, cunningly, "went and made as if they were or had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. We have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, therefore make ye a league with us. This is our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. The men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after that they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto the cities of the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Chipherah and Beeroth and Kirjath Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. But all the princes said unto the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. We'll cease reading with these verses. This morning Israel was on the right path. God had set them on a course that began in Egypt. They had been through the Red Sea. They had been through the wilderness. They had went through the headship of Moses. And now that power, that had shifted to Joshua. And now God has led them into the promised land. And now things have changed, and God has given them a list of things to do. This, you are to go forth to conquer these people. You are to go forth and you are to utterly destroy these people. Now, before we stop and think, well, why was God so harsh? Remember the promise that God gave to Abraham. He said, I'm going to give you this land. Look to the north and the south and the east and the west and everything you lay your eyes on. I'm going to give you this land. He said, but I'm going to give it to you 400 years in the future, because the iniquity of the Amorite is not fully come. Fully come, just like we read about Pentecost, fully came. We read about, as Sunday school lesson, at least the little introduction to our lesson this morning was 1 Corinthians 13 about love, charity, and it's about how that, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part be done away with. So God said the iniquity of the Amorite is not fully come. That means God saw the Amorites going in the wrong direction. They were sinful at that time. But God was going to give them 400 years of mercy, 400 years of long suffering toward them. And He knew in God's infinite wisdom after 400 years that then it will be ripe for the picking. You will be just in going in and taking over this promised land, because by that time they will be beyond repentance and My wrath will be poured out upon them. And so that's exactly what took place. 400 years come and gone. Now they're going into the promised land, and they have every right to go and utterly destroy the inhabitants of the land, because their iniquity is full and God's wrath is being poured out upon them. So the history of Israel, that repeated rise and fall, and Israel, they rebelled against the Lord, and God turned them over into captivity. They rebelled against the Lord, all these different things, and then they would cry out to God, and God would send them a deliverer. All this rise and fall, the rebellion and the false gods that they chased after, and all of that, it came right here at this pivotal moment. Whenever they failed to do what God said to do in the start, to utterly destroy the inhabitants of the land. This is such a climax that I believe it would do us good to look back one more time. Verse 14, and the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. That sounds good to me. These men came wilily. They came to trick them. They came with a cunning, devised plan. And they came to deceive. And Israel heard their words. And they heard, wait a minute, you said servants. Oh, servants, that sounds good right there. Somebody to fetch my firewood for me, that sounds wonderful. Somebody to go to the well. I won't have to go fetch water. They can bring it to. That sounds good. So they said, well, they're no use in us asking God about this. This is too good to be true. It was too good to be true, by the way. This just sounds wonderful. We're going to buy into this wholeheartedly. And they asked not counsel of the Lord. They forgot to ask God. Now, knowing the commandment of the Lord is to go in and to conquer, knowing the enemy is wily, and that knowing the adversary seeketh whom he may devour, they decided just to make a decision that sounded good. I want to ask you something this morning. How many times you had a good idea? You ever had a good idea that sounded real good at the time? And a little bit later on, you said, boy, that was dumb. That was dumb. I thought it was a good idea at the time, but now I don't even know what I was thinking. Why would I have thought that was a good idea? It's kind of where Israel is here. Boy, that sounds like a good idea. That sounds wonderful. I mean, not only we're not going to have to shed blood, these people seem to be good enough, and they'll also be our servants. They also turned out to be thorns in their side, and they caused God's people to rebel over and over again. So, you ever said, you know, this just sounds wonderful, but then after you, I guess, march forward with that idea for some time, you say, I wish I would have looked to the Lord. Boy, I wish I'd have been smart about this. I wish I would have prayed about this a little bit longer. I wish I really would have considered God in this. I wish I had listened for that still, small voice. But many times when we're following the Lord, and again, I want to point out, Israel, they are following the Lord. They've crossed over Jordan River. They've already conquered Jericho. They've conquered Ai after, again, not listening to the Lord. You would think they'd learn their lesson there. Now we are, before every decision we make from this point on, we are going to consult the Lord. But here you find again, they have this opportunity and they say, well, this sounds wonderful. We're just going to go ahead with it, and hopefully God will just accept what we're going to do here. I wish I'd have listened. I'm sure that's what they said later. Oh, I wish we'd have listened. Even if you hear the frustration here, it said, but all the princes said unto the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now, therefore, we may not touch them. We can't anymore. We've already made an oath. We swore to them by the name of the Lord. By the way, that's never a good idea, is it? We don't swear by the name of the Lord. The Lord let us know, don't swear. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Anything more than that, sin. You remember the prophet that went into the certain city to preach, and God gave him commandments. You go in, you preach to them, and you keep going one foot ahead of the other. You don't even turn around and go out the same way. You keep going straight through the country, and you make no stops. Clear direction from God what to do. There's no question here. God said, go in, preach, keep going. Don't stop. Don't get any rest. Don't find any food. Don't stop for water. You just keep on going right on out. And all of a sudden, he's went through, he's preached, and he's on his way out. And an old prophet says to him and said, well, God told me you could stop. Come by the house. We'll have a meal. I have something ready for you. Just drop by here. That's different than what God told him. It's easy to look and say, well, but God said to him. God does not lead. God does not show me what you need to do in your life. Other than what's written in Scripture. You know, as far as we're talking about divine leading and God leading you on a certain path. You know, the path that you're on. I may look at that path and say, I don't see what God's doing with that. I don't have to. God will show you. God will lead you. God will lead your heart. God led this prophet, but now some other older prophet has sent him and said, look, God sent me word, just come by the house. Sounds good. They should have been in unity. If that's God's will, there should be in unity there. So he drops by and he starts to eat with the man. And then God really sends him word. Tell him he messed up. He shouldn't have never done that. Now he'll never get out of the city. And a lion pounced on him and killed him. And just sat there by the body. Didn't eat him. He just killed him and sat by the body. Just looked around. Guarded the carcass. The Bible said he just sat by the carcass. That's 1 Kings chapter 13. If you've never read that, that's such an interesting story, because a lot of times we get set on the path that God has for us, and all of a sudden there's a lot of interference. Other opinions come along. Other ideas. And I'm not saying we shouldn't ever have, you know, those that we confide in or have counsel in. But a lot of times, I felt like this, but mama said, or daddy said, or my friend said over here, but what did God say? Are you sure God is leading you? If he is, listen to the Lord. I say that, and I'm thinking of older children and older people. Look, sometimes you young people obey your parents. You don't get to disobey the parents. But as you grow up and you mature in the Lord, God begins to lead your heart and show you things. What did the serpent tell Eve? What did he do, really? All he did was introduce some doubt into what God had already told her. God said this, well, you shall not surely die. God knows. God's withholding from you. She had a direct word from the Lord. This is what I'm to do, and this is what I'm not supposed to do. By the way, only one commandment not to do. Just one thing. Just don't eat that fruit. That's simple, plain, not hard to understand. Everything God give to us, God's not hard to understand. As the Sunday school lesson was this morning, you know, I love that illustration of vertical love and horizontal love. We're to love up toward God and we're to love around toward men. Well, that's good. Gives you a picture of a cross too. Jesus is love. That's good stuff. God's not hard to understand. And whenever we get serious about loving God and we set aside that special time to go in and talk to the Lord and to study His Word and to listen for that voice, God will let us know what He wants. And whenever He lets us know what He wants us to do it. Just listen to Him. But again, we have that adversary and he comes along and there's lots of interference and distractions and all of that. But just put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Just follow the Lord. Things would be different if we would just put our counsel and listen to the counsel of the Lord and put that counsel in its rightful place. God's word is more important than anybody else's word. God's word is most important. And if we would just listen to him, verse 14 again, and the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Pride many times in our own ability, in our own reasoning, causes catastrophic mistakes. Turn with me, if you will, 1 Samuel 13. Samuel 13, verse 5. We're going to read quite a few verses here real hurriedly. And verse 5, and the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sands, which is of the seashore, multitude. And they came up and pitched in Mishmash eastward from Beth-Aven. Then the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed. Then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offerings. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering." Boy, I forced myself because I just didn't know what else to do. I'm going to tell you something about faith. God allows us to have our backs against the wall sometimes. When it seems like, well, God's about to let me down. I mean, surely if He was going to help, He would help by now. Surely, you know, if He's going to show up, why hadn't He shown up? In order for faith to be faith, it must be tried. Does that make sense? Faith has to be tried. If we always know the answer, it's not really, you know, there's not a lot of faith there. And so faith must be tried. It's not faith if we can always see the natural end. And so faith forces us to surrender our own wits and trust the counsel of the Lord. That's what God wanted here. And I love this because it said, the moment he got through, here comes Samuel. "Well, I waited these 7 days and you're still not here." Guess what? It's still the seventh day. It's still, you know, God hadn't let him down yet. It's still within the appointed time. Samuel let him know that. "Look, I'm here. I showed up on the day I said I was going to show up." But just before all that, he trembles and I don't know what I'm going to do. So I will just force myself to do what I know really I shouldn't do. It was not his place to do what he did. God took the kingdom from him at that time because of that. I know he continued to be a king on his own, but God was no longer with him like he once was. As soon as, sometimes the moment we feel like I don't know what else to do, I'm just going to do my best, then God shows us, "You should have waited on me. You should have trusted me." Today was still the day. It's easy to think, well, I didn't know what else to do. But faith is knowing to always let God come through. Just always let Him come through. Even if it feels like you're going to fail, let Him come through. Our counsel from God is daily. Every time we study God's Word, it becomes part of the counsel of God. When God says, "Do it this way," just do it this way. Faith is challenged. And when it's challenged, what are we going to do? You know, I would not be standing here preaching today if I had listened to my own ideas, my own reasoning. If I had become overwhelmed by the fact that people think that I'm wrong. I had some say, "Well, there's no way Brad O'Neill's preaching." I had friends, Brother Mike, that walked away and never walked with me again after that because I surrendered to the call to preach. Friends that thought, you know, I'm becoming the biggest hypocrite in the world because I know who you really are. They knew me good and they walked away, and I could have been overwhelmed by that. It was overwhelming. if I'd have looked at my own abilities, because I did not have the ability to stand and preach. I did not. I know I might not be able to convince you of that, but I know myself. I didn't have the abilities to stand and preach. All I knew is this: God is leading me to do it. And if He's leading you to do it, He must have a plan that's beyond what I can comprehend. And I say that to say this: if God is calling you to it, He'll bring you through it. I know that's kind of cheesy, but that's the truth. If God's calling you to it, He'll bring you through it. If God has put a burden on your heart, He will help you to accomplish His end. You are God's husbandman. That means you're His gardener. So you have a road to hoe just like I do. And that being the case, the Lord said, put your hand to the plow and do not look to the right or the left. Don't look back. You just go forward. That's going to take faith. So take your seeds and get to planting, because God has something for you to do. And as He leads your heart, you trust Him. Trust Him with all of your heart, and lean not into your own understanding. We'll ask for a song.